You can see that Buddhists, in one way or another, whether they're little children or the most sophisticated monks or nuns, have to grapple with what it means for themselves to be bodhisattvas. The ideal of the bodhisattva is, in a sense, not something rarefied and removed from ordinary experience. It's something that applies to the ordinary experience that we would have ourselves as Buddhists, as Buddhist lay people, and as Buddhist children. The stories teach moral lessons for everybody, not just for the people who expect to be Buddhas in this life. When his career as a bodhisattva came almost to its end, the bodhisattva was born as the son of Suddhodana and Maya. As you can imagine, in a religious tradition like this, the story of his birth is full of miraculous signs. According to Buddhist tradition, the future Buddha sprang right out of his mother's side, took 7 steps to the north, and announced in a commanding voice, "I am the best of the world. This is my last birth. I will never be born again." Now, these were not usual events, even in classical India, and they seem to have gotten his father's attention. Suddhodana, the prince, called the palace sages together and asked them to explain the meaning of what had just happened. They saw that there were wheels inscribed on the palms of Siddhartha's hands and on the soles of his feet, and they told his father that the child was destined to become what's called in Buddhist tradition a Chakravartin, a wheel turner, someone who turns a wheel. The wheels could mean either that he would turn the wheel of conquest around India and become a great king, or he could turn the wheel of religious teaching and become a great sage. Either way, the wheel was the symbol of his status as what's called a Mahapurusha, a great person, someone who was truly a hero in one of these two senses. The 8-spoked wheel of the Buddha's teaching is still used as a symbol of Buddhism in temples, Buddhist sculpture, and in that great 20th century innovation, an international Buddhist flag. It's often used as the symbol of the Buddhist tradition as a whole. Siddhartha's father tried to protect him from the suffering of the world in the hope that he would not choose what to him was the rather disreputable and troubling option of becoming a religious ascetic, in the style of renunciation that we have already talked about in the last lecture. For a while, the young man's father was successful. Siddhartha was married, he had a child, and seemed for a while to be quite content with his protected life in the palace. But one day he was out riding in a park, and he saw 4 sights. Crucial sites in the history of the Buddhist tradition and in their sense of the evolving life of this young man, someone who was sick, someone who was old, a corpse, and a wandering ascetic in the style of sannyasa that we spoke about last time. According to the story, this young guy, Siddhartha, in his early 30s, was shocked by what he saw. He really had been protected, at least according to the tradition, from anything like this before. He was shocked by the vision of suffering that it conveyed to him, and he decided to leave the palace to become an ascetic himself. This really was the defining moment in the early career of this young man. His process of leaving the palace, of shaving his head and giving away his possessions and taking up the robe and begging bowl of a wandering monk, is a crucial event for traditional Buddhists. It's enacted every time a young man in a Theravada Buddhist country in Southeast Asia goes through the ritual process of entering the monastery and becoming a monk. As a monk, Siddhartha did not find much success, at least immediately. He joined a group of other ascetics and tried to confront the problems of old age and death by starving himself until he was nothing but skin and bones. There are some powerful Buddhist images of this phase in Siddhartha's life that show him with his eyes sunk deep in their sockets,